Welcome to Tori Mechanach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Rachel Besser, and today we'll be studying Yirmiyahu Perek Yud Dalet, Chapter 14. This chapter takes place during a batzoret, a drought. It's not clear exactly when this batzoret took place, and as I'm sure you've noticed, the chapters of Yirmiyahu are not in chronological order, and many chapters do not identify to the reader who the king is at the time. However, the threat of a famine is always present in Eretz Yisrael, as we see from the numerous famine stories in Tanakh. Unlike the threat of exile or the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash, a famine is something more tangible that the people can feel, that casts a fearful shadow over the country. It is also a time that people feel weak and not in control and might turn to Hashem for salvation and rearrange their priorities. In this heartfelt chapter, Yirmiyahu sees the drought as a small sense of what is to come. He notes in Pasuk Bet, verse 2, Avla Yudah, Yudah is in mourning. V'tivchat Yushalayim alta, the cry of Yushalayim rises in the air. The mourning that Yirmiyahu is discussing is not the final mourning, but rather a temporary one while the people wait for rain. Yirmiyahu describes the poor, ragged people who are desperate for something to drink, then describes the farmers trying to plant their crops who feel ashamed that they can't bring home food to their families. He even describes the deer with a newborn fawn forced to abandon her young to go on a search for food because there's no grass in the field. This natural tragedy is parallel to the impending man-made tragedy of a siege and war that's only a few years away. We know from Megillat Eicha how the hunger of the famine that happens during the siege will make even the kindest mother turn against her children and turn what should be a regular, normal day into a time of mourning. A drought and a war seem so different, but at their core they are the same, an opportunity for self-reflection and a time to turn to Hashem. We know from the blessings and curses of Parshat Bechukotai that both peace and rain in Israel depend on the actions of the people living there. If you follow in my statutes, says Moshe to the people, V'natati gashmachem be'itam, V'natznaha al-aretz yivula, V'etza sadeh yitain peryo, I'll give you rain in its time, the land will give its produce, and all the trees of the field will give their fruits. And then, just two psukim later, V'natati shalom ba'aretz, V'shachavtem be'in machrid, you'll have peace in your land, you won't have enemies, you won't be afraid. So these two are bound together, the produce of the land and the security of the land. If you do not listen, however, and reject Hashem, then we know from both Parsha B'chukotai, as well as the Parsha that we say in Shema that are from Devarim 11, that v'chara'af Hashem b'chem, Hashem's going to be very angry at you, v'atzart Hashemayim, he'll stop the heavens, v'lo yematar, there won't be rain, v'adama lo titena ivula, the ground will not give its produce. And then right away, we have the other part, the war, v'avadetem me'ra me'al ha'aretz ha'tova, asher Hashem notin lachem, you'll be quickly kicked out of this good land that Hashem has given you. Both a batzoret and a war are times for introspection, as the Rambam notes that when tragedy strikes, it is an opportunity for people to examine their ways. If they don't, the Rambam says, this is midat achzariut, this is cruelty, because a person is not taking the opportunity to fix the thing that could perhaps change their situation. People must stop and see if their deeds are consistent with the Torah. If not, they must repent and fix themselves. The weakness that the people feel now during this drought does actually cause them to turn to Hashem. Even these people who had rejected Hashem previously, they do call out to Hashem and they beg Hashem to bring the rain. Pasuk 7 brings a heartfelt tefillah, one that the Chachamim chose to be part of our daily liturgy in our Tachanun prayer. They say, Im avonenu anu banu, Hashem aseh leman shemecha. If our deeds stand against us, if we have too many sins, then Hashem, please forgive us for the sake of your own name. Ki rabu meshuvotenu l'chachatanu, our rebellions are so many and we have sinned against you. Yirmiyahu recognizes that the Jews may not have been worthy of salvation at this time. He has been prophesying all these years about how terrible and corrupt the people of Yudah are, and they haven't really changed. So Yirmiyahu takes a page from Moshe Rabbeinu's book. He says, we don't deserve salvation, Hashem, but save us because of your name. This is the same argument that Moshe used to Hashem when he was begging Hashem not to destroy the people after Chet HaEgel. He said, you can't destroy the people. What will the other nations say? They'll say that you weren't strong enough to save them. You have to save them because of your name, because of the Kiddush Hashem. Yirmiyahu here speaks in the plural, Im avonenu anu banu, for sin stands against us, as if the people were speaking with him, as if they were praying with him. Almost all the Mefarshim say that actually, though, Yirmiyahu is praying alone and speaking in the plural, just as Moshe did when he said, V'salachta la'avonenu l'chatotenu, u'nechaltanu Hashem, forgive our sins, but just to include himself in the sins of the people. if that's the case, then even the famine did not cause the people to pray. However, Rav Menachem Bula, the author of the commentary of the Dat Mikra on Sefer Yirmiyahu, explains that here, actually, all the people did pray together with Yirmiyahu. And what we see is then that a famine can do what hearing about a destruction cannot. It can actually scare people, who make them reflect on their ways and turn to God, because they're going through it right now and they feel their helplessness. They do turn to Hashem, and the famine is able to accomplish what Yirmiyahu was not, by actualizing a bit of what the greater punishment will be. This doesn't mean, however, that they stop doing idolatry or stop their corruption. Yirmiyahu already noted in Perek Bet that when they are in a difficult position, they always turn to Hashem and they ask him to save him, to save them. And here, that could very well be what they're doing. So what happens next, after this prayer, is a fascinating dialogue between Hashem and Yirmiyahu about the nature and the efficacy of prayer. Yirmiyahu prays, and Hashem does not accept the prayer. But what we see is this intimacy between Hashem and Yirmiyahu as they speak back and forth about whether Hashem should forgive Bnei Israel, but also whether Yirmiyahu should pray on their behalf. So assuming that it's all of Bnei Israel who prayed together, let's assume that, Hashem responds in Pasuk 10, and he says, Ko amar Hashem la'am hazeh, so says Hashem, Kei nahavu lanua raglayim, you love to run with your feet, lo chashachu, you haven't stopped, v'Hashem lo ratzam, Hashem does not want you, ata yiskor avonam, I am now going to remember your sin, v'ifkod chatatan, and I'm going to think about the chataim, the sins that you did. Hashem is saying to Bnei Israel, you're hypocrites. You're calling out for me to save you because of my name, and at the same time, you're running from nation to nation, from God to God. You haven't stopped doing the sins. How could you ask me to forgive you when all I see is the same sins, the same corruption over and over? They had asked Hashem to im avonenu anu banu, if our sin stands against us, and Hashem says, ata yizkor avonam, I'm not just going to disregard your sins, I am going to remember them. They said, Hashem, forgive us for the sake of your name. Hashem responds, I can't forgive you for the sake of my name. The argument doesn't work. If you're consistently going from God to God, then you can't claim that Hashem needs to save us because we represent Hashem in this world to others. You are choosing not to represent him when you're constantly running from nation to nation, trying to be like them, trying to serve their gods. And then in Pasuk Yud Aleph, verse 11, Hashem says to Yirmiyahu, Al titpalel ba'ad ha'am hazeh l'tova. Stop praying for this people. Why would Hashem say that to Yirmiyahu? Isn't this part of the role of the prophet to defend the people to God? Why wouldn't Hashem want Yirmiyahu's tefillah? So it seems to be that the answer is really in the verse before. Yirmiyahu can't pray for them while they aren't helping themselves. Their prayer doesn't work while they're continuing to practice their sins. And therefore, Yirmiyahu's prayer won't work on their behalf either. You would think then, when Hashem says to Yirmiyahu, stop praying, Yirmiyahu would stop praying. But that's not what happens. In Pasuk Gimel, verse 13, Yirmiyahu pushes back. Va'omar, aha, Hashem. That aha, we've seen that before. That was Yirmiyahu's first response when Hashem shows him as a Navi. It's a word of complete and utter shock and upsetness. And here Yirmiyahu is using it on behalf of the people. You don't say that, Hashem. Don't say I have to stop praying for them. And then he defends the people. Hinei ha-nevi'im omrim lahem. Lo tiru cherev v'rav lo yeh lachem. Ki shalom ve'emet atein lachem v'makom hazeh. Yirmiyahu defends Bnei Yisrael by putting the blame on the false prophets, the ones who tell them nothing bad will happen to them and they don't need to change. That's why they never change their ways. And therefore, Hashem, forgive them. It's not their fault. Hashem responds. You see this back and forth, this amazing back and forth between Hashem and Yirmiyahu. Hashem responds and says, yes, those people are liars and they will get their due. But Bnei Israel need to learn to discern between leaders who tell them to do right and leaders who push them down the wrong path. They aren't blameless for following the false prophets who speak out against the principles of the Torah. It's not enough to blame their leaders. They're at fault also. And what's happens is in verse 17 is amazing. Hashem continues and he says the following, Amarta lemata dvar hazeh, I want you, Yirmiyahu, to tell the people something. Teiradna einai dim'ah, laila v'yomam va'al tidmena, My eyes are crying day and night without stop. Kishever gadol nishbara betulat batami. I am watching the suffering of my poor sweet nation. Makat nachla ma'od. I see the injury. I see the painful wound that she is suffering. We're not used to hearing Hashem speaking like this, but it seems to be that Hashem is responding to one of the earlier points in the first tefillah, where Bnei Israel said, Hashem, don't be like a stranger who just passes through. Be like someone who lives here who cares about what happens to us. Hashem is telling Yirmiyahu to tell the nation that just because I don't stop the punishment does not mean I am a stranger and unaffected. The punishment is what they deserve. But Hashem's face is doused with endless tears as he sees and experiences their pain. At this point, Yirmiyahu tries one more attempt to convince Hashem to listen to his prayers. The prayers that, remember, Hashem told him not to express. The ones that Hashem said he won't respond to, since the people have not fixed their ways. He says in verse 20, Yadanu Hashem, Rashanu, Avon Avotenu, Kichatanu Lach Hashem, we acknowledge our wickedness. We know we've sinned against you. He's referring to the first tefillah where Bnei Israel did say that they sinned. They acknowledged their sin. He begs Hashem to have it be enough that the Jews said they were wrong, even if they didn't really do anything about changing their ways. He then asks Hashem to remember the Brit, the covenant, to keep his side of the bargain, even though Bnei Israel broke theirs, not because they deserve it, but because of Hashem's greatness. He ends the perek praising Hashem and saying, none of the false gods can give the nation rain. We all know you're the real only God. The skies themselves are not going to be able to give showers. Only you can do it, Hashem. So nikavelach, we're waiting for you. We're hoping for you. Ki ata asita et kol ela, you're the one who made the world, and you're the only one then that can bring the rain. This perek of Yirmiyahu is a model for what tefillah is and can be. We are not dealing with a people who are perfect, far from it. They are corrupt and ungrateful and try to push away anyone who attempts to bring them back to the right path. But they are not forsaken either. Their leaders still love them, and it's apparent that Hashem does as well. While Hashem does not accept Yirmiyahu's tefillah to absolve the Jews of their punishment without tshuva, he continuously allows Yirmiyahu, even invites him, to continue the conversation. While Hashem feels that it's important to bring about the punishment, it's not cast with indifference. Instead, it's meant out to them like a parent crying in pain when the parent has to hurt the children. And this is why Yirmiyahu keeps talking, even after Hashem explicitly tells him to stop, that the tefillah won't work in this case. Because while the tefillah won't stop the punishment, there's still a place for it. It still connects Hashem and the nation through the words of the prophet. We also learn here something about leadership. Unlike the priests and the false prophets of the time who just tell the people that all is well, Yirmiyahu is as hard on the people as he can be. He does not sugarcoat his words or play down the imagery of the dark times ahead. But when he is with God, all of that is left behind. He begs Hashem to just forgive them, to remember the covenant, to overlook. This parak highlights how difficult it is to be a true leader. You can never be at peace. You can never just say soft words to people to make them feel good. Instead, you always have to be fighting against. When Yirmiyahu is with the people, he's begging them to change. But when he's with Hashem, he's begging him to change as well. The prophet can never rest and just be a friend. His job is too important. He has to make everyone uncomfortable, push everyone to be their best, and even fight against God on behalf of an undeserving people. It is what God wants of him and what he was chosen to do. Thank you for studying together Le'ilo Nishmat Malka Esther Bat Tzvi Yosef.